Rimana kabashe ede mkura bakabosa karaba kabashe ede de karakaboshe ede de kura. It is well, it is well, it is well, it is well with me. Kura bakabasa ndadi. Thank you, Jehovah God. We bless your name. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your mercies, your kindness, and your goodness, oh God. The Lord, you've covered us to praise you, to honor you, to adore you, and to exalt your holy name. Pray that your hand be with us this morning, and we commit ourselves to you, and speak through us, and help us to understand your scriptures, to the praise and honor of your holy name. Amen. Morning. Trust you're well. Good, 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 good. Yeah, we thank God for another good morning that God has given us. And it is just by His grace that we gather each and every day to, as God allows us to learn from Him. And, you know, we've been learning about being part of God's family, God as a father. And I just wanted us to look. We're going to read today from Ephesians chapter 1, and we will try and look at the aspect of predestination. And in predestination, and the key verse there is Ephesians 1 verse 5, which tells us that having been predestinated us, He having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. And NLT will put it that even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. And God decided to God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family. And that's the key verse, and I pray that God will give us some wisdom and some words there to the utterance to speak, and I pray that we shall have understanding on it. So we will read from Ephesians chapter 1. And we will try and stop on some key verses and just do a study on it and maybe pick on it again tomorrow for better understanding. So it says Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll read from NLT for easy understanding, but you can always read from any other different version. The Bible says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. Verse 2, may God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And then verse 3, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Verse 4, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Verse 5, God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace He has poured out on us who belong to His dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. Maybe I'll just stop there so that can settle. And you have to think that you have to ask. If you look at the writings of Paul when he's writing to the Ephesian church, remember he did a great work in Ephesus. He had stayed with them at least 3.5 years, and by the time he was leaving them, to to go and on his way to Jerusalem, and then from Jerusalem he was going to end up in Rome, and in Rome that is when he eventually was killed, and church history tells us that he was killed by Nero, and as a result of the persecution that broke out against the Christians, Emperor Nero. And so this is one of his last epistles, one of his last letters, and it is believed that it's at this point where he was having full comprehension of of what Christ has done for us, and that's why it's one of the most loaded of epistles, and also one that should give us a proper understanding of present truth, or rather of the revealed truth of who we are in Christ Jesus. So if you look at verse 3, he says that praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. Now, first of all, someone will ask, but if God is God, and how can he again be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and if he and the Father are one, and how is that being? So when we look at, and this is how God has chosen to reveal himself to us, in that God the Father, God has chosen to reveal economically, or rather functionally, God is one. We have only one God. We don't have many gods, but God chose to reveal himself, or to express himself, in three forms that he has told us. He has expressed himself as the Father. He has expressed himself as the Word, which is Jesus Christ, the Word that became flesh and became a man, that is Jesus Christ. And then also he has also expressed himself as the Spirit. Now the three are one, and they exist in perfect harmony. They are all equal, they are co-equal, they are equal in power, but in their expression of themselves to us, they have let us know that they are, they've separated themselves for our benefit. Now, it was for our benefit. So when we look at Jesus Christ, he existed as the Word before. It's just like the same way if you say, I will, like, your word is you. Like if let's say you're not going for a function, and you send your words to be read by someone, then they will say, I'm going to read the speech of this person. And this person, since he has said this, it is received as that person. So the Word is Jesus Christ, and then the Word became flesh, and he became a human being. That is why he became Jesus when he became on the earth. And by him becoming the Word, becoming Christ, becoming Jesus, and he became Christ, then when, as he existed on the earth, he now recognizes and interacts with God as the Father. And that is why we are saying that for the apostles, for the disciples, as they walked with Jesus, he introduced them and he showed them that as me being this in the flesh, I have to pray out to my Father, who is the Lord, who is God. And even though he has made me, now he is now made Lord, he's exalted to the highest place in the heavens, and now he's elevated. God was pleased that all his fullness to dwell in Jesus Christ. And so what we see here is that praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing because we are united with Christ. And now remember, the key word here is heavenly places in Christ. If you look at King James, it says we are heavenly places in Christ. And that being in Christ is a position that every believer holds, whether they know it or they don't know it. Now, the challenge is many people, yes, who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, who have believed in the message, have and have a different or still have a deficient understanding of the position or of the of their union in Christ. That's why it says, who has blessed us in heavenly, in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ, because of our union with Christ. And what is this union with Christ? Remember, we've been learning that I am in the, Jesus told his disciples that, why are you asking to see the Father? Don't you know that if you have seen me, you have already seen the Father? Don't you know that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? And this is what Jesus was basically trying to show, that he is in the Father and the Father is in me. And that was the union that he and the Father expressed together. And remember, even at that point, the Holy Spirit had come and had rested upon him. So there was the union of him and the Holy Spirit and the Father. So he was three in one. He was the Trinity. And that expresses the kind of relationship and the kind of mystery that the Bible refers to as the fellowship of the mystery, and that exists in the union of the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they exist in perfect balance. They're united as one, and but then they have the different functions that God has given them, and they also respect the order that God has given them, in that we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit. So when Jesus left on the earth, when left and he ascended into heaven, the Bible says we died with him, we were resurrected with him, and we are seated with him in the heavenly places, far above all thrones, all powers, all principalities, all dominions. So we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ. Now, there are people who are trying to still to follow the law to make them righteous. They're trying to work so hard to get to Christ, yet they don't realize that Christ has already brought them to himself. Now, being in Christ is a position. Now, when you understand that you are in Christ, that you are united with Christ, then from that vantage point, then you can now begin to operate the Christian life. And then you know that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Now, someone will say, oh, but why don't I see the effect of that blessing? Why am I struggling? Why am I, you know, trying to earn God's salvation? And that is a challenge, because religion teaches us that we earn God's salvation. And that's where you can find someone who will tell you that, no. If you want to find God, you must do this, you must do this, you must do this, you must buy this soap, you must buy these lights, you must buy all these things. It's all about trying to it is because the masses or the people who are doing that are not yet understanding that what Christ has done. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, because we are united with Christ. So our place of our position as Christians and those who put their faith in Christ is that they are seated with Christ, they are in Christ, and Christ is in God. The Bible tells us that your life is now hidden in Christ, and Christ is in God. And at the same time also, Christ lives inside of you. So now, the same way in the mystery that it was in Jesus, that he is in the Father and the Father is in him, is the same way as the believer. We are in Christ and Christ is in us. And remember, Christ is in God. So we are in God, at the same time God is in us. Now, that is the mystery of the union with Christ. And when someone knows that truth and believes that truth and walks in that truth, then he can do the greater works. And this is something that we picked up, that it says that if you know, you shall, whoever believes in me shall do greater works than I have done. So when we have assured of our union, when we have that fellowship, when we walk in that fellowship, then we walk in power, then we walk in truth, then the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus begin to work in our lives and begin to be made manifest. So every blessing that we've been given, we are not earning it. We are not working to earn it. No, we are already blessed with it. Then verse 4, and it says, and this is the aspect of predestination, it says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. On this is the word, to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. According he has chosen. So every person who comes to the knowledge of Christ was chosen of God before he came to be. And that's something that you have to understand, that there is a place in God, and that is in Christ. You see, when he said, let us make man in our own image and likeness, he made Adam, he took Adam from himself. So from one man, all men from all nations were in Christ, were in God, and he made man in his image and likeness. So our starting point was in God. But now you see, there is a difference between the new man that is in Christ, the spiritual man that is created in Christ Jesus, and the difference between Adam, who is just was made in the image and likeness of God. Adam was a natural man, but in Christ we are made spiritual men. And there is a big difference, because Adam lived from his soul. The Bible says God breathed his spirit into him and he became a living soul. But in Christ, Christ became a life-giving spirit. So the spiritual man, who is the new creation, the man in Christ, lives from their spirit. And it is because they are united in spirit with Christ. Now, what is basically saying? God knew us in Christ. So the place where we are known of God is in Christ. And anyone who comes to God was predestinated to know him. Anyone who believes in Christ was predestinated to know him. And you see, God, it's not that God has chosen some people to, I know there are those who see it as there are people who are chosen for destruction and there are people who are chosen for salvation. So that means that if they were chosen for destruction, then it doesn't matter whatever they will do, they will end up in death. And someone will say, so why will God blame me? I mean, if I was already chosen to be in sin, for destruction, so why should I bother trying to be righteous? But you see, God gave man a choice. To God, the person that he knows and he loves, and the person that he has chosen, and his son, his one and only son, his beloved son that he loves and he has given all authority, is Christ. Now, what our choice does is that God has opened a door wide. He has opened the door wide. He has said, all I want you to do is believe in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your sins. Put your faith in Christ, that if you believe in Christ, then I receive you, I adopt you into my family. Now, it says that even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. When we are in Christ, when we are united with Christ, when God looks at us, he sees Christ in us. It is Christ that surrounds us. It is Christ that clothes us. That new man is created to be like Christ, is created to be like God in the image and likeness of God. And so when God sees any man who has chosen, who has accepted to believe in Christ, when God sees that new man, he sees Christ and he says that this new creation is made righteous and holy, is made holy and without fault in his eyes. Why? Because Christ has fulfilled all righteousness for our sake. Christ has fulfilled all righteousness for our sake. And that is why it says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And this is what is God saying, that in love, it is an aspect of love. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your belly, in your mother's womb, before I put you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I ordained you and I chose you to be a prophet unto the nations. Look at it. Even in us, when we come to Christ, when we believe in Christ, when we come to that union of Christ, that understanding of Christ, then we now realize that, oh, actually God loved us even before we knew him. While we were yet sinners, God loved us and sent his only son to die for us, that even while we did not know him, and it's not just even when before we were born, even before creation, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. And then verse 5, it tells us God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. God is so pleased that he has made human beings who believe in Christ his children, his family. He has adopted them into himself, and he has given them the license, the authority, the permission to become sons of God. When you put your faith in Christ, God adopts you in Christ to be his son. The same way that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of the living God, you also, when you come and put your faith in Christ, you are receiving the same blessing, the same authority, the same power that God has given Christ. Why? Because you're not going to position yourself on your own. It's not like you're standing before God and saying, oh God, I am righteous. Oh God, I have done this. Oh God, I have not sinned. I have not killed anyone. I have not done this. No. What we do is we just position ourselves inside Christ. We say, Christ has covered me. For me, I don't come on my own. When we come in the union of Christ, we don't come on our own. We just come and say that we are hiding under Christ. We are inside Christ. God, because you have loved Jesus Christ, you have made him your son, you have given him all that honor, because he has fulfilled all righteousness, you have blessed him, you have given him all authority in heaven and on earth. For me, I am inside that Christ. I am in that position in Christ by putting my faith in Christ. And so I receive the righteousness that comes from that union with Christ. So the Bible tells us that he that joins himself with the Lord is one spirit with him. We come and we join ourselves. We come and we marry. And this is the mystery that he was saying of marriage, that a man shall leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. And then he says, but I was not speaking of just marriage. I'm speaking of a deeper mystery, which is in Christ, and which is trying to say that now, Jesus Christ and our human spirits became united, and we became one spirit. And so the two are no longer two, but the two become one. And this is how God predestinated us. He decided in advance to adopt us into his own family and bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one can come to the Father except through me. People will try to tell you, oh, there are many ways to God. Oh, maybe if I do this. Oh, maybe if I do all these religious activities, if I do all this. The only way we come to the Father is through Christ. The only way that God receives us is through Christ. The only way that we are loved of God is through Christ. The only way we are adopted into God's family is through Christ. Now, what the difference is, few people really come to this understanding of this truth of their union with Christ. And even those who come to that understanding of that knowledge of that union of Christ, some don't live out that truth, because when you come to the full understanding of your union with Christ, it is a place of humility. It is a place that humbles you, that how could the creator of the whole universe, how could he be so merciful? How could he have chosen me in him before he formed the world to be holy and blameless, not in my eyes, because in my eyes I can never be holy and blameless, but in his eyes. Why? Because I choose to position myself in Christ, and I choose to surround myself in Christ, and I choose to put on the new man, and I choose to believe in what he has said, what his word has said to be true. That is what I choose to believe in. And I believe in that. I put my faith in Christ. And in that new creation that is made in me, is made in righteous, is made holy in his sight, and I am adopted into the family of God. And what is it? God says it was for his good pleasure. God, it was for the pleasure of his will, the good pleasure of his will. God rejoiced. God enjoyed. God is happy that he has made human beings into his family. That is why angels wonder. Angels keep wondering, Aish, what is man that you are mindful of him? We are so powerful, we are so beautiful, we are so majestic. But then God decided to choose these weak beings. And that's why the Bible says God was teaching them the principalities and powers wisdom through the church. He was teaching them his manifold wisdom. That means that the principalities and powers, the angels, even the devil, he was learning about God from man. And that is why the devil wanted to steal the body of Moses. Because Moses has seen the face of God. He wanted to steal it, because he will think, at least if he steals it, there's something he can learn of God. Because they've not seen God. Because to them, when they stand there, they cover their faces, they cover their eyes. The angels don't, but, and God dwells in an approachable light. But you see, for us, we are in Christ, and Christ is the image of God. And we see the face of God in Christ. God has chosen to reveal his light in Christ. So that is why we are better and much higher than angels. We are higher than angels. Why? Because we are in Christ. And Christ is elevated. He's seated in the highest place in the heavens, far above all thrones, all powers, all principalities, all forces of darkness. And this is a place where you must operate from. This is the knowledge that you must have. You must have the knowledge, then you must live according to that knowledge. Verse 6, it says, so we praise God for the glorious grace which he has poured on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace. Now, this is the message of grace. This is the grace that God has poured us. Not because we deserved it. Not because we are righteous. Not because of anything. But he loved us. And it is just God's love. That is just God's love, that he just said, you know what? I love these people. And I have chosen to adopt them. Where? In Christ. The only thing that you need to do is to come back to that position of Christ. Now, if you accept that and you live that, then that new life works out in you righteousness. It teaches you to live a righteous life. It does not mean that now you are united with Christ and then now you live whatever you, how you want. No, you live in sin. No. The Bible says if you are born of God, you cannot continue to live in sin. Because that life of God that lives in you moves you towards righteousness. The Bible says it is him that in him we live and move and have our being. It is him that worketh in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. The challenge of religion, even those that practice Christianity as a religion, is because they are trying to get to God. Yet God